Now let's turn for a few moments at the close of the meeting to Colossians chapter 3. Good to be with you in Edmonton again and appreciate the invitation to come along to the conference. Colossians chapter 3, let's just break in at verse 12. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, or put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. God will bless to us this reading as well as that which we've listened to in the last hour. Paul's great desire in his ministry was not complete until he valued that saints were conformed to Christ. One thing to see souls saved. Another wonderful thing, of course, to see them go on in the truth of baptism. But Paul's real desire in life was this, that their lives would be conformed to Christ. There's likely nothing more beautiful, dear Christian, whether you're younger or whether you're older. The regular assembly meetings, a conference gathering, whether you meet an individual on a weekly basis or once a year, like, well, here we are in Edmonton, and you see your brother or sister, and you see Christ-likeness in them. That's what God's after. God's really not after great preachers. Oh, they're here. God's not after great missionaries or great cooks in the kitchen. You sisters look after us well. Really, what God is interested in, is that he would see in my life and he would see in your life a reflection of his Son. If you were to just go back in your thinking to chapter 2, in chapter 2, verses 1 to 11, Paul's great theme is in Christ. That's where Brother William has left us. What a marvelous truth. What about for the children today? Maybe you've just been saved this past year. Since the last Edmonton conference. Do you know what? You're in Christ. We've got some older believers here today, and always good to see the older believers at the conference. In Christ. An unchangeable position, the moment that you and I came into faith in Christ. God took me out of Ed Adam, and he placed me in Christ. And bless God, I cannot get back into an Adam. So that is my position. I am in Christ. But then you're going to notice a change in Paul's writing. Chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. He's teaching the Colossians they're in Christ. But in verse 12 to 23, he's teaching them their identification with Christ. And he brings in the great truth of baptism. And he brings in the great truth of being risen with him. Now, most will appreciate this, that in Paul's writings, in the first part of the letters that he's writing, he's setting down doctrine. And then he's going to move into practical ministry. Be careful, Christians. Be careful, be careful, be careful. When someone says, we just want practical ministry. I mean, I know what they're saying. But you cannot have a practical ministry until, first of all, you've got the doctrine to base that on. So the Spirit of God very, very wisely takes the pen of this man. I would have loved to have watched him write. And he's setting for us in these first two chapters the doctrine of being in Christ and the doctrine of being with Christ. Position, identification. But you see, that now has to transfer into something that is practical. And so he comes now to chapter 3, and he's going to teach me how I can be like Christ. The Lord knows our hearts. As each of we come to the conference in Edmonton, I suppose that there would be a burning desire in all of our lives. If I could just be more like Christ. How can I display him? Well, in chapter 3, you're going to notice that he mentions the old man. The old man is simply all that I was in Adam. And God's finished with that kind of a man. And then he introduces to us the new man. That is what you and I are in Christ. And so he's going to give to us then, in the verses that I've read for you, he's going to give to us the features of the new man. The features of the new man. And this isn't that I'm up here trying to evaluate you. I have to evaluate myself. And it's not up here that we're getting after you. I've got to look at these seven features and say, do others see these features in me? Now, just look back, if I can, just for your own information. From verses 5 to 9, Paul describes the features of the old man. And there are sins there that we just leave them for you to read, and that's it. I'm just going to say this. In verse 5, I'm just going to say I'm just going to categorize those as the awful sins. Just leave it that, the awful sins. But I want you to notice in verse 9, there might be an acceptable sin. Now, just be very, did you really hear what I said? An acceptable sin? Now, don't go away from the Edmonton conference saying, Mr. Gould says there's an acceptable sin. There's no acceptable sin. But what I'm saying is this. It's possible for you and I to condemn those who practice what we have in verse 5. And we can be very, very loose with our tongue and not think too much about spreading a lie about others. So there are no acceptable sins as far as the sight of God is concerned. Then he describes, of course, these believers in verse 12 in three ways. Elect of God, that is, subjects of divine choice. Holy as is to my position, but now he's going to show me I must be in my practice. And then, of course, beloved of God. I'm just going to go down these seven features very, very quickly with the time remains. These are the features then of the new man. Paul, by the Spirit of God, says, put on. Maybe I could describe it for you this way. Put on like a garment. Put on like a garment. You remember from the Old Testament, and we're just going to draw on that for the next 15 minutes. You remember that Joseph wore a coat of many colors. a margin or reading of your Bible back there in Genesis just may say this: he wore a garment of many pieces. So we're going to look at this garment then in these few verses. And these seven graces are woven together into a garment that God desires that you and I would wear. Let's move quickly. First of all, he says there in verse 12, bowels of mercy or tender mercy. In the language and the culture of the Greek people, this was the very seat of their compassions. They spoke of the inner part of a man, the bowels of a man, the inner affections of a man. It was a very seat of their compassions. Remember the Lord Jesus on that occasion when the disciples thought best to send the people away. And the Lord could say words like this: I have compassion on the multitudes. This was seen, was it not, in Genesis 37, in the life of Joseph. He was sent by his father to see how his brethren were doing. You remember that he got as far as Shechem. He could have turned back. No, he says, your brothers have gone on to Dothan. Here was the individual now that was willing to go, let's just say, that second mile because of compassion for his brethren. A willingness to spend, a willingness to be spent for the care of my brethren. I wonder, just in my own assembly, as maybe believers look at me, I wonder how many really know. Does Jack really care for us? Do you really care for others? How are they going to know? Just pardon a little story here. It's personal. August last year, August 2016, we were called to take a funeral of a little baby that didn't make it. Tough. They came from a colony background, their little assembly in Mitchell. They asked if I would come down and conduct the service. Well, we tried. Lots of tears. Met the parents of the mother for the first time. Ruth and I had taken supper down. And just how the Lord would arrange things, that was just the time when her parents from a colony showed up. We didn't stay long. Andrew Bergsma taught me that. Make your visit short at times. We read the scriptures and prayed and left. We had no idea whether the parents were going to be able to allow to come to the funeral or not. 3 days later, they did. After the tea, I said to the parents, I said, well, I'm up your way, you know, on business, sometimes. I'm going to stop in for a visit. Now, here's something interesting. Since personally visiting the colony since 1994, I have never had a good conversation with one couple in that colony. That's a long time, 94 to 2017. 6 weeks later, I went up. Lots of tears. So, just a couple weeks ago, Ruth and I went up again, just the anniversary of the little baby, thought we'd go up. Spent an hour with them, having coffee. I tried to turn the conversation to spiritual things a dozen times in that 1 hour. And let's just put it this way, they wouldn't bite. Jumped in the truck, went back home. I said to Ruth, with tears in my eyes, well, at least they'll know we care for them. Do you care for someone? We don't have to go far, brothers and sisters, to know this, that there are hurting saints everywhere. And sometimes it's not so much that we go along even to read or to pray with them. Sometimes it's just to go along to sit and listen, that they might unburden their hearts. This then is the first panel in this garment, tender mercies. But then he says kindness. I suggest we move from attitude now to action. A willingness now to walk in another person's shoes. To feel how they are living. You know, there are young people in God's assemblies, and they did not have the background and the upbringing that some of you and I had and appreciated. And they go home to parents with drunkenness and immorality. And the TV's continually blaring, and there's just no time for quiet time. Do we know what it is to show them a measure of kindness? I see this in Joseph in Genesis 42. You remember the money that the boys had brought along for the grain and the corn. The money was returned in their sack. Oh, brethren, that is Christ-likeness. You're going to see it again in chapter 43 and verse 16. You remember when Joseph sets the boys down all in their order. He set food before his brethren that had actually harmed him. You know, there are four ways by which you and I can act towards others. We can repay good for good, but that's just what ungodly people do. Well, you have us for supper, we'll have you for supper. You're going away on holidays, we'll shovel the snow off your driveway. Well, when we go on holidays, maybe you won't go on for a week, we're gone for 6 weeks, but you won't mind shoveling our snow. Good for good, that's man work. But it's possible to repay evil for evil. That's beast-like. It's possible to repay evil for good. That's devil-like. Oh, to repay good for evil. That is Christ-like. The second panel on this garment, that of kindness. Oh, by the way, how's the garment fitting? Feeling pretty comfortable? So far? We're not done yet. What's the third panel? Humbleness of mind. Thinking more of others than ourselves. Just let me say this to our preaching brethren. Some are older. I'll be careful what I say to those that are older. Some are younger. Just let me say this. I love coming to a conference when there's just the gentle waiting on each other. Oh, to come along to a conference with a little word, that's good. But just the gentle waiting on each other, the humbleness of mind. You're going to get this in the life of Joseph again in chapter 41. Joseph will interpret the dreams of Pharaoh. Listen to what he says. It is not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer. You would have thought possibly that this is now the period where Joseph is going to get another badge on his lapel. This is now going to be another stripe on his uniform. Joseph or Pharaoh, no problem. Just tell me. And he says, I'll interpret it for you. Listen to what he does. He directs Pharaoh's attention to the God of heaven. Joseph says in so many words, I'll not take any credit. Joseph says in so many words, I'm not going to take advantage of the situation. Humbleness of mind. But the fourth panel is meekness. Sometimes a very difficult word to try and translate. I thought this one was good. Harnessed power. Meekness is harnessed power. It was actually the word that was used for taming a horse that had never been ridden. Of course, in the world of 2017, let us remember, dear brother and sister, that we have no rights, but we certainly have a lot of responsibilities. The world of 2017, others will not dictate to me. I'd rather be in the position of telling you what to do rather than you telling me what to do. The world of 2017 of promoting oneself, raising oneself up above others in order to get, as it were, higher up the ladder. Against all of that background is this fourth panel, that of meekness. Come on, you're thinking to chapter 42 and verse 6 of Genesis. Joseph is now governor. They have harmed me, they've sold me, they've lied about me, they've cheated me. Who is holding the reins of Joseph's life? Come now. Who's holding the reins of Joseph's life? Well, let's just turn it around. Who's holding the reins of your life? Who's holding the reins of my life? Common occurrence as you read your scriptures, watch for repeated little expressions. The Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. Joseph is allowing the God of heaven, as it were, to hold the reins of his life. And he's governed by this panel of meekness. Sometimes, you know, there's these little cliches that they sort of rhyme, but they don't make spiritual sense, okay? Meekness is not weakness. Got it? Meekness is not weakness. A meek brother stands for the truth of the Word of God. A meek brother will not compromise the truth of the Word of God. You remember the language of the Lord Jesus in Matthew 11. I am meek and lowly in heart. The fourth panel, that of meekness. The fifth panel, long-suffering. A refusal to retaliate. A refusal to speak out impulsively against those who harm me. Genesis 39, Joseph finds himself in prison, no fault of his own. What's he do? He suffers, as it were, long suffering under provocation. Oh. 2 minutes to 12. How's the garment fitting? Any adjustments need to be made? That of long suffering. Think of the Lord Jesus. Peter picks the pen up in 1 Peter 2. It's some 30 years after what he saw in Pilate's judgment hall. And he writes this. Who, when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself. You'll notice most of your Bibles, himself is in italics. He committed his cause. He committed the accusers. He committed the accusations themselves. Committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. The sixth panel, forbearing one another. If long-suffering is that refusal to retaliate under constant provocation, this now, the forbearing one another, is the duration of the long-suffering. It's the duration of the long-suffering, that forbearing that does not retaliate, that forbearing that will not threaten. Probably happens here in the schools in Edmonton as it does in Winnipeg. They are very much concerned about this thing of bullying. Christians can do it. Preachers can do it. Missionaries can do it. What is it? It's forbearing one another. Remember of the years that Joseph spent in prison? I'm in chapter 40. Listen to these words. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph. How could he forget? How could he get let life go on and leave poor Joseph now behind bars? How did Joseph react? Forbearing one another. The seventh panel. Forgiving one another. Not enough, dear brethren, sisters, to be marked by tender mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another. We must know what it is to forgive one another. You see, if someone does something against you and you don't forgive them, the devil starts working on this thing called a grudge. And then you can't sleep at night. And what seemed to be just a little word of offense has now become a mountain. And if you and I are going to nurse grudges, we have failed in forgiving one another. The climax of the story, Genesis 45. Do you remember that Joseph puts everyone out? This is a private interview, if I could put it that way. I've tried to stand in the room in Genesis 45. Listen to it. I am Joseph. What? I am Joseph. Is my father yet alive? And then you remember after father had passed away, before Genesis closes, the brothers are wondering, I wonder what Joseph will do now. Might the Lord help us just appreciate to what it is to be in Christ is my position. To be linked with Christ as identification. And then day by day to go into be more like Christ.